Hi, I am Martin, and this is Words That Change You. Words fly all around us. Kind words, silly words, angry words. And they do so all day long. But how often does something written or spoken really feed our souls? Wouldn't it be nice if beyond the noise we could listen to words that make a difference? In Words That Change You, we will speak with a variety of people. Artists, monks, business people, housewives, and see whether we could not glean some nuggets of wisdom to feed on. Some other times, we will simply examine a piece of wisdom we stumbled upon. Tune in and be surprised. Noli me tangere. Since during these past 2 weeks, Passover, Eastern and Western Easter sort of coincided, we ask you to indulge us today with a possibly more religious episode than normal. In order to follow what we would like to share with you, we invite you to first click the links provided in the show notes and to either open or download the 5 pictures indicated. Once you have done that, press play again. There are 2 Easter scenes from the Bible which have inspired the largest number of artists to paint or draw them. The first is the encounter on the road to Emmaus from Luke 24. The other one is Mary seemingly meeting the gardener as she goes to the grave of Jesus in John 20. What we want to do today is look at the depiction of this second event by 5 different artists. The oldest one is by Fra Angelico, the Dominican who painted this fresco in Florence somewhere around 1430. The next one is by Hans Holbein, which the Dutch master produced in 1524. Then there is one of Titian's earliest works, painted sometime between 1511 and 1515. We also have a Flemish version by Jacob van Ostzanen, dated around 1507. Finally, one work by Fra Bartolomeo, painted around 1526. We want to stress here that we are not art historians, so our focus is not primarily technical, but spiritual. There are evidently things all 5 paintings have in common. The 2 characters of the story, Jesus and Mary Magdalene. The fact that this is happening somewhere around the place where Jesus' body was buried is evident, at least from the garden setting, and in all but one picture there's also a drawing of the tomb itself. Each of the 2 main characters is furthermore depicted most of the time with an object that serves as a clue. Mary with a jar of ointment, indicating that she came initially in order to anoint the body. Jesus with a hoe or spade to show that Mary mistook him for the gardener. The fact that the scene happens in a garden with a man and a woman as the main protagonists is not lost on anybody familiar with biblical imagery. It harkens back to the creation story in the Garden of Eden when, quote-unquote, all was well. Somehow this story is meant to assure us that all is well again. But how the 2 characters interact differs markedly. Ostzanen takes one extreme position, where Jesus is turned toward Mary, prays for and even blesses her. He's completely attentive to her. On the other end of the spectrum, we have Fra Angelico's depiction, where Jesus seems in a hurry to go somewhere, and Mary just catches a last glimpse of him before he disappears. In between, you have various attempts to depict the title of the scene, Noli Me Tangere, which in Latin is Do Not Touch Me, or probably a better translation, Do Not Hold Me Back. Not only is the scene set in the garden with a tree reminding us of Eden, Titian, Fra Angelico, and Ostzanen expend lots of energy on depicting particular flowers recognizable by botanically trained eyes. It is as if the artists try to bring the scene into our reality with the flowers we know from our home turf. Fra Angelico is also at great pains to draw the flowers on the ground the same way as the wounds in Jesus' feet. His wounds allow the world to flourish again. Before we get into the meaning of this title, let us observe a few other differences. Fra Angelico masters, even though rendered on fresh plaster, a particularly luminous Jesus, where the light seems to emanate from his body. Holbein's rendering is much more Dutch, dark and earthy. But Holbein plays with the colors, so that Mary's clothing is the exact negative, quote-unquote, of Jesus' attire, somehow indicating that they are related, but diametrically opposed. He also has Peter and John running away into town, thus providing added context for the story. Ditto the numerous crosses on the hills, indicating that Good Friday just happened. There are also marked differences in terms of how much space the figures take up in the overall composition. Ostzauning's painting has them fill the frame, almost like a portrait of the two. Fra Bartolomeo and Titian, in particular, leave lots of room for the landscape and the city of Jerusalem in the background. It is as if this encounter was ultimately intended to work itself out in daily life, back in the hustle and bustle of the city. Let us now return to the title of these compositions, Noli Me Tangere. Do not hold me back, Jesus tells Mary in the story. Why would he not let her touch his body? If in another famous Easter story of Doubting Thomas, he insists that the latter put his hand into his wounds. So it does not seem to be a problem to touch the resurrected body. Rather, Jesus points to a different relationship he wants to establish with Mary, and by extension with us, the viewers. Touching is, of course, in most cultures, both the way we grasp something, apprehend it, and affection is often expressed by touching. This is why Jesus looks almost standoffish in some of these paintings. Do not touch me, he seems to say, but apprehend me with your heart. We are thus reminded of Saint-Exupéry's quote that the most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or touched. They are felt with the heart. And this brings us full circle to our current reality, where social distancing, avoiding physical contact, seem to be de rigueur. We can be frustrated that our sense of touch is curtailed by these safety precautions. Or we can find inspiration in these paintings, which invite us to contemplate a very intimate relationship between two human beings, yet without touching each other. Maybe this low-touch season, this time of non-tangere, could help us train our hearts so we can establish new relationships with those who are dear to us. This was Words That Change You with me, Martin Steinbereitner. It was produced by Fritz Lowy, Clementina Barbazon, and Jakob Dubibert. If you liked this episode, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts. Until next time.